Families, unknown enemies, in parentheses. There's an old saying, knowledge is power. The axiom sprang to mind unbidden when I read an article recently on a distraught single Liberian mother in fear of the violent drug trade engulfing her Staten Island, New York neighborhood, who promptly shipped her oldest son back to their West African homeland. She reasoned that even war-torn Liberia, which has been plunged into civil war for at least the last generation, would prove a safer place than a project in a New York borough. What was thought to be a summer vacation with relatives turned into several years in the midst of a real war, a war which taught important life lessons to her then teenage son about life, death, hunger, and abundance. When 17-year-old Augustus Masali initially arrived in Liberia, he was as mindlessly materialistic as any other overfed American kid. But life in West Africa gave him a broader, deeper insight. Like many of his peers, stealing was probably seen as, at best, a prank, at worst, a hustle. In a recent article in the New York Times, Masali spoke laconically about the prospects of theft in a poor, mostly rural country. On that side, he said, if you steal, they beat you or kill you or burn you to ashes. But what was most remarkable, according to the article, was the tale of conflict between native-born blacks and Africans from the continent who, in grade school, launched slurs at each other like cotton picker and why don't you go back to the jungle? Cotton pickers? Go back to Africa? Not surprisingly, the paper doesn't note how ironic such slurs appear given the specific histories of these two communities of black people. For Liberia was established in 1822 by blacks freed from American bondage. In other words, the African-born children shared nationality with former cotton pickers. And the ancestors of American-born blacks had indeed gone back to Africa to establish the nation of Liberia 185 years ago. Indeed, beyond their blackness, it is possible that these two conflicting communities shared the commonality of familial blood. But who will teach these children that? How will they learn such powerful lessons within the false, narrow confines of No Child Left Behind? And if the children were able to read the New York Times article, what would they learn except black-on-black conflict? In a nation where whiteness is prized and blackness is demonized, why are we surprised that conflict is the story and commonality is ignored? Knowledge is power, but the converse is also true. Ignorance is powerlessness. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.